Okay, in a day from now, will be the yurt site of Rav Elimelech of Luzhensk, the Rebbe Rav Elimelech, as he is referred to often. And what I'd like to speak about are a number of minhagim and halachos that pertain to him, his sefer, things that we do that have become popular based on his writings, and show his impact on the world of halacha and minhag in particular. Certainly we could give years and years and years of lecture on his impact in Hashkafa. Just a bit of a background. Elimelech of Luzhensk is probably the greatest of the 18th century Rebbes of Galicia at that time. One of the most important figures in the history of Hasidus. He was the Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich. He was the Rebbe of Menachem Mendel Miriminov. And he died in 1787 on the 21st of Adar. And the place to go visit the kever of Elimelech of Luzhensk, if you've not been, is certainly a highlight of any trip to Europe, to Eastern Europe, and for anyone to go. It's a very special place, a very holy place, and a place that is revered throughout all aspects and different areas of Jewish history and Jewish culture, to the extent that even non-Jews go, even Christians go to the grave of Elimelech of Luzhensk, because it's known to be a place of a very holy place and a place that everyone respects. So let's turn now to Rav Elimelech.
The Noam Elimelech.
So let's turn now to the main topic, which is the Sefer of the Noam Elimelech. There is a very, very old custom of over 100 years for sure, going back a number of generations, that if a woman is in labor, in order to alleviate the difficulties of labor, to take a copy of the Noam Elimelech and to place it underneath the pillow during labor under the bed. We've heard of such a concept before? Some people here have done it. So there is such an inyan to place the copy of the Noam Elimelech underneath the bed or the pillow during labor. What's the earliest source? The earliest source is brought down in a sefer called the Ohel Elimelech, a bar of Elimelech of the Zhensh, in Os Reish Peites. So he records, the author records, that Rav Chaim Dov Gross, who is the Av Basin of Petrova, said that the tzaddikim held that the Noam Elimelech that was printed in Tafkuf Mem Ches, the one that was printed in 1788, which is the original printing of the Noam Elimelech, so that one, that particular sefer is mesugal, it's helpful for a woman who has difficult labor. To have the copy of the sefer in the room, the kedusha of the sefer, is helpful in some way. They say it's only the first printing. Obviously, if you had that first printing, I probably would not put it under a bed. I'd probably sell it and make a lot of money off of it. But there's some sort of school, there's some sort of aspect, some sort of ability that is pertained to the sefer. The kedusha of the sefer, whatever it is, can help during labor.
Would you put this in the same category as wearing a red bangle?
No. Well, hold on one second. We'll get to this discussion in a second. And they would place the sefer underneath the mattress and would relieve the difficulty taking place during labor. This is repeated again in an old sefer called the Derech Tzadikim in Os Nun Ches. And he heard from Rechaim David of Blimberg, who spent time in the home of Rav Avram of Sakachov. At one time, his daughter-in-law, the Rebbe of Sakachov, the wife of Rav Shmuel, was having difficulty in labor. And Rav Avram was looking for a copy of the Noam Elimelech that was bound by itself. It shouldn't be bound with a different sefer. I guess it's diluted with another sefer. It doesn't have the same powers, they say. And Rav Chaim David had the sefer and he lent it to him and it was helpful during the process of childbirth. So this is an old minhag by the Hasidim going back many, many generations. The Kloisenberger Rebbe. So he would often tell the Hasidim to have a copy of the Noam Elimelech in the process of labor to help the labor along. This has brought down a number of svarim by the Sanz Hasidim. It's cited in the Sefer Shulchan Malachim and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Divrei Malkiel, one of the great poskim in Europe, in Chelkein Os Kuf Samech Vav, has a similar minhag related to using the Sefer of Raziel HaMalach, which is another Sefer of Kabbalah as well. And he says that one shouldn't protest against people who do this. The Ber Moshe, the Debret Sina Rav, in Chelek Gimel and Simen Kuf Ayin Zayin, mentions the placing of other svarim, including the Noam Elimelech, next to the head of the baby on the night before the Bismillah, some sort of special segula connecting at this time. What is the connection, so to speak, between the Noam Elimelech? What is it about this in the Sefer? So there's a story told in Chabad that there was once a Misnagid who asked the Balatanya, what is it with the Hasidim, and they hold on to the Sefer, the Noam Elimelech, and think it's so special, it's so holy, and they put it underneath the mattresses during labor, underneath the bed. That's how you treat a Sefer, you put it underneath the bed. Now, what could be so special about this person, Rav Elimelech of Luzhensk? So the Baal HaTanya told the Misnagid, he said, the Maila, the greatness of the Sefer Noam HaMelech, is that even if Rav Elimelech of Vizhensk himself, you stuff underneath your bed, he would be quiet and stay there because he was such an anav, and he wouldn't have said anything to you as well. So they say that the humility of the Noam HaMelech and the Kedusha comes from the type of person he was. That the type of person that he was instilled in the Sefer itself a level of Kedusha and holiness. Which brings us to our major question. Are you allowed to heal someone using Divrei Torah? This is a major discussion in Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch. Essentially, we're taking a sefer and we're using it as a tool, as a form of refuah. Is that appropriate to take a sefer, a holy item that contains Divrei Torah, and to use it in a way to heal another person? So the Gemara in Shavuos on Tesvav and Mabez says in the name of Yeshua ben Levi that he would say verses, certain psukim, before he would go to sleep at night, and he himself said that one. But the problem is, says the Gemara, how could he have said these psukim? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself held that you couldn't be misrapa with Divrei Torah. You can't use words of Torah as a healing method in order to try to make yourself feel better. So the Gemara says that you can use words of Torah as a protection. I can't use it to heal me if I'm already sick, but I can use words of Torah to protect me from something negative that may happen in the future. So the Mishnah says that one who whispers certain psukim over a wound has no chelek in Olam Haba. So that's what the Gemara says back. Well, if you use psukim in order to, like, in magical ways, you have no chelek in Olam Haba. So Yochanan explains that this is when you spit first, and you don't mention Hashem's name after spitting. The issue is that they would use the name of Hashem and psukim in a manner of spitting, and that was considered inappropriate. But the Gemara seems to conclude, or the Gemara is unclear when it concludes, that maybe there is a place to use the items of Torah, to use Torah itself, in order to heal someone who's sick. What we're not going to discuss right now, tonight, because we don't have time, is the issue of saying Tehillim. How does Tehillim work? When you say Tehillim, isn't that using Torah in order to heal someone? But that's a discussion for another time. The Rambam in Hilchos of Avodah Zarah brings this to Halach in Perek Yud Aleph, Halach Yud Beis. He says, Halocheh hamaka v'korei pasuk min haTorah, a person who whispers an incantation over a wound and then recites verses from the Torah, v'chein hakora al hatinok shel yivat, a person who recites verses over a child so he shouldn't become scared, hamaniach sefer Torah o tefillin al katan b'shvil shiyashan, or one who places a sefer Torah or tefillin over a baby so that it should go to sleep, lo di lehen shehein b'chlal chaverim menachshim, it is not enough that such people are included, those who, you know, are soothsayers and cast spells. Al shehem b'chalal hakofrim b'torah. Such people who use the Torah in such a way are people who deny the Torah. Shehein osin divrei Torah refos guf, because they turn the Torah into some sort of cure for the body. Ve'enon elo refuas nefashos. The Torah is not a cure for your body. It is a cure for your soul, says the Rambam. It is not meant to cure you physically. Aval habari shekarep sukin o mizmori tehillim kadei shetigan alav zechus kriyasan. But the healthy person who wants to read psukim or say tehillim, so that the learning of the Torah should be a zechus to protect him in the future, beinatzal mitzaros, or to help him from difficulties of nezikim harezemot or damages, that is allowed, says the Rambam. But if you are already ill, then it is not appropriate to use Divrei Torah, either physical Divrei Torah or the words of Torah to protect you, says the Rambam. Comes Tosfos there, Masechet Shavuos, and asks from a Gemara in Shabbos on Samach Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, "Leishta bas yoma lema hachi vayar malach Hashem elav." That to cure a persistent fever, a person should say the pasuk that a malach of Hashem appeared before him. A person has a fever, don't grab the Tylenol, don't grab the Motrin. Rather, say the pasuk of vayar malach Hashem elav, and that should be sufficient. So says Tosus, this shows us that we do allow people to cure themselves with Divrei Torah. We have a contradiction in Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos says you can use it. The Gemara in Shavuos seems to say you cannot use Divrei Torah. So Tosus answers that it's true you cannot use it as a refuah, but b'makom sakana, if a person is in danger, you are allowed to use Divrei Torah, the zechus of either words of Torah or objects of Torah, to help a person out if you're a b'makom sakana, a person is in dangerous, precarious health situation. This is also the opinion of the Rush in Sanhedrin in Perek Yud Aleph, What we see from Tosas is the Torah is a refuah, but you shouldn't use it, right? That's what Tosas seems to be saying. The Rambam seems to be saying it doesn't work at all. The whole thing's ridiculous. Tosfos says it does work, but it's not appropriate to use it. But if a person obviously is b'makom sakana, if it's an issue of a person living, a person being in grave danger, then certainly use Torah. Where it's not one of the three major cardinal sins, so why shouldn't you use Torah to heal a person who's in grave danger? This is where we seem to have a machlokas here between the Rambam and Tosfos. Comes the Gemara in Erev and Chavav and Ralph that says if a Talmid Chacham becomes sick, so the Talmidim should learn in front of his door. We see again, Rashi explains, Shel Talmidim la'asok ba'Torah al pischo, the Talmidim should go learn by the house of the Talmid Chacham who's sick, Shlo yeh reshus l'mal chamavis l'kanesham, because they'll stand by the entrance of the house and the angel of death won't be able to get into the house because they'll be learning Torah. The Simus imply Torah is being used as a refuah. But according to Tosfos, it's fine. Why?
Sakana.
Because sakana, Rashi says, the person's going to die. So obviously, in such a case, it's not a problem if we're dealing with a person who's gravely, gravely ill. However, this obviously would not fit with the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch brings this lahalach in Yerodei and Simen Kufa in Tess. However, all the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't use Torah in order to heal someone. And it does not bring the heter of Tosfos that you can use it if you're in grave danger. Comes the Taz and says, you can rely on Tosos to use the Divrei Torah if a person is in danger. Rav Vazin writes in the Shevet HaLevi, following the Taz, he cites the minhag of Rav Yosef Naftali Stern, who is the editor of the Chassam Sofer Al HaTorah, the descendant of the Chassam Sofer who published his writings on the Torah for the first time, who used to place a manuscript handwritten Ksav Yad of the Chassam Sofer under the head of someone who was ill when they were sick, and there was some sort of great zechus of the kedusha of the writing of the Chassam Sofer, and he used this as well. So I heard Rav Asher Weiss explain once that the entire issue with using Divrei Torah is when you remove the Torah from the mitzvah and you turn it into a segula, something magical. But if you think that the zechus of the Talmud Torah is what's being affected in this case, then that's fine. When you turn the Torah into a magical potion, says Rav Asher Weiss, that's the issue. But if you learn Torah and the zechus of the Torah is going to heal the person, so he says that is certainly appropriate. But that obviously still calls into question because nobody's learning from the Noam Elimelech. They're taking the sefer and they're putting it under the person's head. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Kufayim Tess, Tinok shenifka ein korin alav pasuk ve'menich alav sefer Torah. The child who is upset, so you don't actually take, you shouldn't take a Torah, as the Rambam said, and put it with the child to make him feel better. The Pischei Tshuva, there in the Shulchan Aruch and Sifkas and Vav, cites the Be'er Heitev who says, we don't use the sefer Torah unless sakanas nefashos. We will allow it in such a case if a person is in danger. The Be'er Sheva writes in his parish in Sanhedrin that it's mutter to rest a sefer Torah in a woman who's having trouble giving birth or to read psukim from it because it's sakanas nefashos as well. Whatever it takes to heal a person, if a person's in grave danger, of course we'll do it. However, the Tshuvos Chinuch Beis Yehuda says, the Pischei Tshuva says, this is not covered to a sefer Torah. You shouldn't bring the Torah into the delivery room. Rather, you should hold the Torah by the entrance to the room, and the zechus of the Torah in some way will help the person and protect her. But this is not a segula or refuah, he says. There is an actual essence of the merit of the Torah. He says it's not magical. There's a connection. The Torah is a holy object. The Torah maintains zechus and merits, and having the Torah there will be a zechus for the person. Comes the Darkei Tshuva, the grandfather of the Minchas Halazah, who writes in Simen Kufayin Tess, and he says that in the generation of the Tshuvas Gur Aryeh Yehuda, was a Rav who died in 1831. He was the rabbi of Brody. So he writes in his Tshuvos that there were people who would hang signs on the room of the Yoledis, the woman giving birth, that would say, Gad Gedi Vesinuk Lo Ashkeveu Boshchi, which is an expression from the Gemara that a person should have Zechuyos as a segula for the Yoledis to have an easy birth. And he says, but isn't this a problem? It's the Gemara in Shabbos on Samach Zayin Beis says to use that expression is Darkei HaAmori, like a form of avodah zarah. It's a foreign practice. So isn't this a problem? So the Darkei Tshuva writes again in Sifkas Lamed Beis, citing the Tshuvas of Shlomo Kluger, who was asked about the minhag to take the cover of the Sefer Torah. They would take the mantle of the Torah and use it as a segula to prevent the woman from miscarrying. They would do something with it, drape it over the woman, whatever it was. So he explains that even though you shouldn't use a Sefer Torah to be misrapa, you can use Tashmishe Sefer Torah as a refuah. It's true, the Gemara says you shouldn't use the Torah as a refuah, but the cover of the Torah is not as holy as the Torah itself, so Shlomo Kluger allowed you to use the cover of the Torah in such a case. And this brings us to the conclusion, are you allowed to use this? No, Meli Melech. So, obviously I'm not going to tell the Hasidim what to do, but it would seem that unless it's B'makom Sakana, to use an item that has Kedusha of Torah, like a Sefer, should really only be used B'makom Sakana. In that case, whatever zechus you can have, Rahman al-San, the woman has had difficulty in childbirth, and things are not so clear, at that point, you know, pull out all but the stuff.
Isn't it always a sakana when a woman's giving birth?
So that's, the level of sakana, that would seem to depend. For example, we do, obviously, if a woman is going to birth on Shabbos, we will, you know, take her to the hospital on Shabbos, obviously, for sure. But at the same time, we will also, there used to be a question in the postgame regarding inducing. Should you induce? Because if you induce the woman, you're going to be putting her in danger, you know, be a dying actively. But nowadays, many postgames say, if there's no reason to induce, if you just want to induce because, you know, you want your child to, you know, be born on, you know, 1/1/01, and because you want to have a cool birthday for your child, so obviously that's not appropriate. But if there's a medical need, or for whatever reason it is, so we induce because, you know, we're not necessarily concerned about the issue of sakana. The svarim that we quoted from seem to say that if it's kashal yoledes, if she's having some sort of difficulty in the process, so the chassidim would use that in such a way. Yeah.
How does the idea of of the Sekula Abiyate, you know, like the Tosfos, the Rambam's idea of Nikush. You know, like, why does that kind of Abiyate the idea of Nikush?
So the Rambam doesn't agree, but the post can follow Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't seem to.
You're saying the post can, by and large, do not follow the Rambam when it comes to this matter?
I'm saying,
just the Hasidim.
No, I would say, all I'm saying, the Poskim, we quote a number of Poskim who said that the Makam Sakana, you can rely on it. They don't seem to view it as nichush. The issue here is not nichush or things like that. The issue seems to, because they're saying is that there's a merit to objects that contain Divrei Torah. There's a holiness and a merit to having objects near you. There's a connection between A and B. They don't seem to see it as so far off. It's the merit of the Torah, either the object of the Torah, the holiness of the object of the Torah, or the learning from it. So I heard once from Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, who's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's youngest son, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rebbe in Reshit. So he told me that when his wife was in labor once, I don't know if it was a complication or not, but he was needed some sort of extra merit. So in the hospital, in every hospital in Eretz Yisrael, there's an Olam HaMelech on the shelves. So he was in the hospital, so he took off an Olam HaMelech, and this is the son of Aaron Soloveitchik. He's not going to put the Olam HaMelech under somebody's pillow, so he learned from the Olam HaMelech. That was the schus. He took out the Sefer Olam HaMelech, and he learned from it, and that I felt that was enough of the schus to do it. So if I was going to recommend, obviously, why not learn a piece of the Olam HaMelech? But certainly, I think we've brought a defense, so to speak, a limud zchus on the minhag of the Hasidim who used the copy of Noam HaMelech. Now, in addition, we saw the original Makor says it should be original printing from 1788. Again, if you have a printing of Noam HaMelech from 1788, you might want to keep that, you know, wrapped up and protected because I'm sure it's worth a lot of money. So that is the general minhag of the Noam HaMelech. Now, for a little bit of the background and the reasons behind its use. Let's discuss some other inyanim in halach and minhag that we can learn from the Rebbe, Rav Elimelech, when it comes to practice. The major pieces in the Noam HaMelech itself have to do with the role of the tzaddik and the Rebbe. The Rav Elimelech of Vizhensk, the Noam HaMelech, is the first of the Hasidic Rebbe's to lay out in a formalized way what the role of a Rebbe is and how it works. He discussed the idea of Yerida Litzarach Aliyah, that the Rebbe has to go down to the Hasidim and to raise them up. All different ideas there, all different parshios. You could probably not turn two or three pages in the Noam HaMelech and not see a discussion about what it means to have a Rebbe and a tzaddik and a religious leader in laying out those important ideas. But we're not going to get into the Hashkafa, but just be aware what the main thesis of the Sefer is. The Acharonim cite a comment of the Divrei Yitzchak, which is one of the Hasidic rabbis, who heard in the name of Rav Elimelech Lizhentz that it's a segula for women to alleviate difficulty in childbirth to eat Malacha Malka. It's a mitzvah to Malacha Malka, that's in Shulchan Aruch, but some people say whether women are chayv, women are not chayv, it's a very big inyan to eat Malacha Malka. We've discussed this in the past, and specifically Rav Elimelech held that for women, if you want to have an easier childbirth, to be careful in the midst of a Malacha Malka, they should say out loud that this is l'shem mitzvah sudas Malacha Malka. So if you have any women in your life who are at that stage, you might want to guide them towards eating Malacha Malka as a special zechus during childbirth. In Parshas Mishpatim, Rav Elimelech Lizhentz discusses the minug of eating milchigs by Shavuos. So we discussed last year close to 30-something reasons about why we have milchigs on Shavuos. So we cited his reason without going into it. So within his reason, he writes the following. He says, "B'chag Shavuos hatiru lanu chazal shelo lahamtin achar hagvina hashir kama b'shari mos hashana." Rav Elimelech held that on Shavuos, you don't have to wait the full amount after fleishigs for eating milchigs as you would the rest of the year. You can be lenient when it comes to waiting after milchigs from fleishigs to milchigs on Shavuos. So a minhag brought down in the Noam Elimelech. The makor, the resource for reciting l'shem yichuds before doing a mitzvah that we find by the Hasidim, the Kabbalistic prayer that all your actions should be, in fulfilling all the different issues and aspects and tikkunim going on in Shemayim, is based on a Zohar and Parshas Tazria. And the Hasidim say that the original source that brought this from the Mekubalim and brought into Hasidic practice is the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech is the one who really made it in his Tzetel Katan. The Tzetel Katan is a letter written by the Noam Elimelech that was printed in the backs of all the, or in the beginning of all the copies of Noam Elimelech, which was a basic guide to the Hasidim, how to live your life. So he stressed the saying of L'shem Yichud, and because of Noam Elimelech, it became a major, major factor in the practice of Hasidim. We discussed L'shem Yichud in Sfiras Omer a couple of years ago, so Ayin Sham and those Shiurim. In the Tzatzal Katzan, he also spoke of the importance of saying the Tikkun Chatzos, the Tehillim at night, in order to mourn the Beis HaMikdash. In the letter in the back of the Noam Elimelech, he discusses switching from the Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfar. This is a very contentious point in the beginning of Hasidus. The Hasidim were switching from the original Nusach of Europe in order to daven Nusach Sfar, the Nusach of the Arizal. And that was a big point of contention. People switching family minhagim over generations is the right thing to do. So the Noam Elimelech places strict conditions on making such a change. If your Nusach was Nusach Ashkenaz, he says, if a person is not on a very high level, chalila to daven Nusach Sfar. Nusach Sfar is only for people who can concentrate on the level of the Arizal and think about these deeper ideas. And it's also interesting, the Noam Elimelech says that he didn't even grasp, he didn't understand the Nusach of Nusach Sfar for a long time until he was much older. He didn't get the depths of the Kabbalistic ideas within Nusach Sfar. So it just gives us a piece of history at that time to see that only very special people, according to Rav Elimelech Lizhentz, should switch over to Nusach Sfar. Nowadays, obviously, all the Hasidim daven Nusach Sfar. The Baal Shem Tov was a very strong advocate of movement and shuckling during tefillah, that we've discussed this in the past as well. In the Keser Shem Tov, of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching in the Chelak Alf and Os Reish Tazvav, he says, there is Baal Shem Tov El Shem Amar Kesha Adam Tova Benar Vumara B'mayim Kama Tenuos Sheyotze Atzmo Min HaMayim Hashot V'Soso. A person's drowning in the river and he needs to get out, right? B'vadei Harom Oso Lo Yisotetsu Alav Al Tenuos. And he's flailing back and forth his arms, help me get out. Do people start laughing at him because he's moving around a lot? No, he's in trouble. He needs to move his whole body in order to get out of his situation. Kein Kesha Mispal V'Osa Tenuos. If a person's davening and chuckling, you don't laugh at him. When a person chuckles during davening, it's like a person trying to wave his arms to get out of the water. He's using it in order to help himself concentrate on his davening with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the original source of the Hasidim to put the very big stress on chuckling. The importance of chuckling is mentioned as well in the Tzetzel Katan of the Noam Elimelech. And the Yid HaKadosh said the Hasidim daven later because they need time for the body to wake up so they can say Kol Atzmosai Tamar to warm the body up. And they would shuckle in order to get things going. So again, we see the meaning of shuckling brought down for the Hasidim in the Tzatzal Katan. And finally, in the Darkei Chaim and the Yotzer Chaim, they record that the Divrei Chaim, the Rebbe of Sanz, was careful to say Tachanun on every yurtzeit of every tzaddik. The Divrei Chaim didn't care who it was. We don't skip Tachanun for anything. We say Tachanun all the time. Doesn't matter who's yurtzeit. Against, you know, all these luachs will tell you, you know, this Rebbe's yurtzeit was this day no Tachanun. This Rebbe's yurtzeit was that day no Tachanun. The Divrei Chaim of Sanz didn't hold of it, except for the yurtzeit of Noam Elimelech. He said, the Chafa of Adar is a day, is an important day for Hasidim. It's an important day in the development of Hasidus. And therefore, even the Divrei Chaim, who never skipped a Tachan for anything, would skip Tachan on the holy day of the Yurtzeit of the Noam HaMelech, Chaf Aleph Adar. So I would say the following in conclusion to wrap it up. Certainly a major, major important player in the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael and the Mesorah of Hasidus as well. But at the same time, I think the best thing we could do is not only to know about the Minhagim and the Sfarim, but also to learn from them. So the best thing we could do on the Yurt side of Noam HaMelech is to learn his Torah, to learn about his Avos Yisrael, the importance of being a good person, and the importance of taking our relationship with Hashem in a very serious way. And his memory and his Torah should be a zechus for us and Klal Yisrael, the Dorei Doros.